Hi.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. Hey, everybody. Everything's fine.
Hey.
Everything's fine. Relax. Everything is just fine.
Don't let your love pass you by. We've not found a memory.
I think we play less than 30 seconds. That won't get us kicked off of the podcast. Coming to you live from a 215 in a sad, a somber, a solemn. Any other S words that are sad?
I think you hit them all, yeah.
Podcast. Now, you're probably, first I want to apologize. I mean, you're probably waiting like, you know, 2 weeks. Like, where the fuck did these guys go? You know, you're okay to think that. I think if you follow me, I think if you follow Mark, you know what kind of went down. I will now be over at Crossing Broad. If you don't know them, at Crossing Broad on Twitter or Instagram. And you can follow over there and you can read me. Mark is obviously still doing his thing, being the greatest gambler Philadelphia has ever seen in his life. He's there on the painted lines. He's also always on Fox Gambler and whatnot. But let's cut right to the chase. And I will introduce Mark and I'll let him talk, obviously. This podcast is coming to a farewell. You'll probably see that by the title of the podcast that it will be like something with, you know, the word farewell in it. This is not the end of me and Mark, I think. Do you hate me?
No.
Now you ask me, do I hate you?
Yes. Do you hate me?
No.
Okay, that's good.
It doesn't look good on me if you follow me since the Word of Voice is the second podcast host that and the second podcast we've stopped in a calendar year. Doesn't reflect well on me. But kind of the terms of the agreement with Crossing Broad was I was kind of just writing and doing man on the street videos. And if you work in a corporate atmosphere, you understand this. We're going to put a little pin in the pod. So what happens to the pod? I don't know. I planned on having a way better opening to this podcast, but I'm kind of just riffing right now. And
Just riffing, baby.
And that's kind of it. You know, I wish there was a sexier story. Always wish there was a sexier story, but there's not. But we thought we owed it to you to give you a farewell pod where you give whether you give a fuck or not. Maybe we talk about sports. I don't know. Maybe we talk about our most fun memories on the last 6 months that we've been doing this pod together. I will be honest with you, Mark. I'm excited for it to stop. I think at one point I was over it. 3 days a week is insane. Credit to anybody who can do it. I know a lot of like I'm trying to think of the top ones off my head. Part of my take, the Pat McAfee show, they do it weekly. I mean, they do it every day. Anybody, 94 WIP, 97.5. I can't believe motherfuckers can talk about Philadelphia sports 5 days a week. I could never do that for 4 hours at a time. So I'm going to hand it over to you. You say whatever you got to say. But before we get into you, Tap Room, just kidding. They're not sponsoring anymore. So,
that's funny.
What was your favorite moment of the pod?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of great moments.
Give me a couple.
I mean, just the fact that one of the first times I was on was just as a guest with John Jansen, and we went for like 4.5 hours. I think that's probably one of the funniest memories there. I was literally on vacation.
John Jansen leaving in the middle of the pod because he thought it was going to be half an hour and we kept them for three.
Yeah. That was unbelievable. That was a great one. There's obviously I think some of our disagreements have been some of the more funny things when we really start to get heated at each other a little bit. I think I'm a lot more sad than Kyle is about this ending. I'm definitely What? I'm not trying to.
I'm happy. I'm not doing it three times a week anymore. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, it definitely got to a point where with my schedule, it was really difficult. And I'm sure that annoyed Kyle. What?
Would you stop placing the blame on you?
I'm like the kid in the divorce. That's if I could have done something different, this podcast could still be going on. But I'm joking. It's been more difficult as the years went on. During the summer and the first couple months of it, I think that we were grooving, and I think that I was looking forward to it every time. And I never really dreaded coming on here with you. I always enjoyed it. It's waking up at 7:30 a.m. or doing the 8 a.m. pods we were doing for a while. It's nice to not have to do that. But this definitely gave me an outlet like kind of different than anything I would have ever went into or anything I've ever had before. So I am super appreciative of the last 6 or 7 months, however long it's been.
I know it sounded like it, but Mark's not dying, anybody. I'm not dying either. Like,
well, just my content career is
dying. No, you've got painted lines. You've got gambling forever.
Yeah.
Realistically, I would love to go to Kyle or go to Kevin Kincaid once I get like onboarded and stuff and be like, yo, listen, like they're and they know they think it too. I mean, the Crossing broadcast back when it was Russ, Kyle, and Adam Lefko. People forget Adam Lefko was on there for a little bit before he like really, really blew up. That was like appointment listening in my mind. I mean, I used to listen to it on the way to on my walk to work to Comcast. I mean, so like these guys were like, they were in the beginning of like podcasts. I think that was back in like 14 or 15 when like podcasts was like kind of a new thing. Now, if you don't have a podcast, you're like not a American. So I'd love to get it built up a little bit more and just invite guests on regularly. And right now, kind of the way I've talked to with Kyle and Kevin, where it was like, you'll be writing, you know, two blogs a day and you'll be doing video content. So like, that's really what they want me to focus on until, you know, I can get kind of acclimated. So, but like Mark's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Like, Maybe I won't interact as much with Mark as, you know, I used to, you know. Yeah. When you get a whole new subset of friends, man, you get a new lunch table, like you're gonna hang out with the guys from your old lunch table or something like that? No, I'm fucking around. But like,
yeah, I'm sitting here eating fucking pudding like I'm Steven Glansberg.
Steven fucking Glansberg.
Me and Austin Krell sitting here at the Painted Lines table.
Yo, you and Austin Krell would have an awesome podcast. That's who Daryl was referring to when he said the most reliable reporter.
Yeah, exactly.
He only believes in one. Yeah, he only believes in one reporter, and it's Austin Krell.
Oh, man. It's funny.
But yeah, dude, like nothing's going anywhere. It's kind of just like I had an opportunity to finally make money, quit the bar. And I kind of just jumped at it. If you call me a sellout, fucking right, I sold out.
No, that's the dream. Please, someone allow me to sell out. I'm sounding negative, I guess. I don't know how I'm sounding, but
it's sad.
I don't have
I don't have an empathy complex.
Yeah, that's
where
I'm at.
I struggle with empathy. I struggle with like all this like, damn, it's ending stuff because it's like it kind of is, but it's kind of not. It's kind of just like, what's the next move in a way? But go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I'm
this is why it didn't work, because I cut you off.
No. I'm a moody guy. So the way that I'm obviously emotional about this ending. It's been really awesome to see it grow while I've been a part of it, and it's been awesome to be maybe not as much as Kyle would have liked, but
the podcast numbers were never there.
Yeah.
The podcast numbers were never there. The social was growing. The videos were growing. The podcast numbers were never there. Maybe you need a break. I don't fucking know. I don't know how to make these things. I mean, we were topping off at like 150. 150 was like a good, and don't get me wrong. Like I sound like an asshole. Like people would kill for 150 listens a podcast. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diminish it, but yeah, they're just stagnant.
Yeah. So I'm definitely emotional about this, but I don't want anyone to misconstrue that for me not being happy for Kyle. I think it's a perfect fit for Kyle, and I think it's someone should have snapped him up a while ago. And I don't know. There's definitely no way I could even find this in our DMs because we, as me and Kyle have said, we don't have each other's number. We've only communicated through Twitter DM. So whenever one of the first times that I communicated with Kyle, I think I basically told him that I wanted to hitch my wagon to his because I saw how hard he worked and I saw the type of content he was putting out. And that was something that I wanted to be a part of. And I'm happy that he saw enough in me as a gambler and enough in me as a guy when he just brought me on as some weirdo who had a viral tweet originally.
I like that weirdo.
He was trying to debunk me.
There was something about this weirdo that I immediately liked.
But he had me back on, and I couldn't be more appreciative of the people that have listened, the people that have followed me from the pod, or the people that have followed Kyle from me. They should continue to keep liking Kyle's stuff and keep Kyle's the man on the street stuff and the I don't even know what you'd call it. I guess the post game stadium presser, not presser. Jesus Christ, the post game stadium interviews with the drunks.
I like that one better.
It's so funny to see like the type of people that interact with that and the random interactions that Kyle's had with Jim Gardner and stuff like that. It's hilarious to see. So I think,
stop bull washing me. I mean, you're going to be great. I mean,
no, but this is a celebration of you. This is a celebration of you.
It's not a 50-year. It's not a 50-year. Give me the gold fucking bracelet. Have a retirement for me. I'm 28 years old. I'm going to Cross and Broad. I love the opportunity. Don't get me wrong, but like, I could get fired tomorrow for saying something stupid. I could be back here with you.
I'm not ball washing. I'm just being honest. I said at the beginning I wanted to hitch my wagon to Kyle because I thought that someone would notice the work that Kyle was doing, and that's happened. It should have happened a long time ago, before I even had a chance to hop on here and start doing the pod. But I'm just being totally honest. I'm in a place of I am very much at peace with all of this.
Well, thank you. Even though it pains me to have to hear that for 5 minutes, but I appreciate it.
Sean made me ball wash you on Fox PHL The Gambler too.
I mean, I fucking, what a beginning I had there. Pitching sponsors that weren't theirs. I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about half the time. I was just mumbling all the time. I didn't have headphones that worked. His headphones went dead. It was awesome. I loved it. I mean, Sean is you don't know how good of a host you are until you're with a host who's actually like done it for 20 plus years. I mean, that guy could talk for 4 hours and it'd be a good show. And that has always impressed me with people who can do that and whatnot.
What are you getting? Are you getting a show there? You getting a show on The Gambler?
No.
No, I'm joking.
No, I don't leave the city for much, but I leave it for Sean Brace.
I guess it is. It's not the city.
Like Kenwood is not the city.
No,
I did it on the 76.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I don't know. I mean, we just did all that, and we're 13 minutes in. I've got 16% on my computer left, and I don't have a charger in here. So you just want to talk about what's going on in Philadelphia until my computer dies?
Yeah. I mean, did we hit on it? I think we hit on everything. If anyone wants to hire me, please do it.
Yeah, that is the thing. If like you're a gambling show or a gambling startup or something to do with like gambling, like if you're not looking at Mark and like seeing like Mark's record and stuff and how much, like, I think, I forget who tweeted you. I think it was Dumphy tweeted you yesterday. He was like, every time I've tailed you, I've ended up at plus money. I mean, that goes to show you right there. I mean, there was a 10-day period where I just tailed you for 10 straight days, and I always ended up plus money. And it was like, this is the easiest thing of my life. I don't have to think anymore. I can just go right to your Twitter, get your picks down, boom, boom, bang, bang, make some money. You paid for my Christmas presents. It was amazing. I mean, you're just like, you're like the Mother Teresa of Philadelphia for like degenerates.
And not to mention the fact that I'm, you know, sitting here crunching, Drake Jackson tape in my time. I'm watching second round defensive end prospects. So, hey, Sean Brace, if you're listening, give me a show. Or WIP 97.5, whoever's listening, I'm ready to sell out.
No selling out.
Oh, I'm dying to sell out. Cross and Broad, I'll sell out to you as well. But I know you're gonna listen to this since it's Kyle's last show. Yeah, I had a joke that I don't want to get canceled. So
no,
that's the theme. No, that's the theme of the show. I have one joke a show that I don't say because I don't want to get canceled. So that's another one of my favorite memories from the show. I always hold something back.
Come on, let's just get canceled. I mean, hey, it's not going anywhere, right? Fuck it, let's get canceled. I always said my last move when I'm old and gray, and I guess this is kind of the Tony Bruno model, just cancel me. I've made enough money. When I'm 50, 60 years old, what else can I add besides cooking shows exclusively on Cameo or taking my Rhode Island accent or my Rhode Island New England fandom and just like putting it on people and making them all riled up and everything and everything, sky is falling, blah, blah, blah. Like that's what 50 and 60 looks like in Philadelphia sports media. So you know what? Might as well cancel myself at 45.
Yeah, it's not a bad strategy.
My money in stocks and low risk mutual funds and we'll just see it grow.
I think in all reality, this is just Kyle's move to get out of doing skydiving above all.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Yes, this is my long play.
It would be, hey, if Crossing Broad is listening again, it would make, if Kyle's talking about video content, he did have a podcast once upon a time that you guys heard. You're like, get that shit out of here. No, we don't want to hear that shit anymore. He did have a podcast at one time and he got smoked by me at a picks challenge. And the punishment was supposed to be that he had to go skydiving. That was the challenge. That was the bet. And the funny part was I did not want to do that bet. That was absolutely a Kyle proposal. So I think Crossing Broad at Bob Wankel, at Kyle Scott, at Kevin Kincaid, I think you guys should really consider, you know, expensing a skydiving for Kyle.
Is it bad? Let me preface it with this. Who was the one Crossing Broad member we spent the most time with, you would think, on this podcast?
Bob Wankel, and he probably had nothing to do with any of this.
Guess who's the only person who hasn't said congratulations?
Wow.
For coming on to Crossing Broad.
Wow.
Everything we've done for him.
Wow.
And this is how he handles the situation.
Well, I think he's Team Mark in the breakup. I came on late. I came on late. He might think that something happened. He might think you disrespected me. I don't know. He might be Team Mark.
Crossed up with Mark and Bab Wankel. I like that.
Hey.
Mark Mondays.
I'm a Wankel guy.
I will miss. If there's one thing I will miss, it will be Wankel Wednesdays. I will miss Wankel Wednesdays.
Yeah. And moving on from Bob Wankel, we've given him enough cred for since he didn't congratulate you publicly. We won't talk about him anymore.
I need that.
Just another quick like thank you, I guess, to Kyle and to the listeners for allowing this to happen, for the fact that I got to interview Mark Zumoff and the fact that I got to interview Lee Ellis from No Dunks. That alone has really been, that was awesome for me. Those are two bucket list guys. Those are two bucket list interviews for me. So those are two more of my favorite memories from the pod. And it's funny, like you might say that the listeners were stagnant and everything like that. I've had stuff that's done really well at the Painted Lines listenership, and I'm not trying to shit on the Painted Lines at all here. I'm so appreciative for everything that they've done for me. But I will say that I've had stuff get a lot of viewers, and I've had stuff get a lot of listeners on the Painted Lines on YouTube. I had like 2,000 people watch a dumbass 6-hour WrestleMania broadcast I did, which I think I promised on Twitter I was going to do again in 2 months.
Let's go. I can't wait.
But I got so many comments and DMs about this pod saying like how funny it was. And I don't think people really think of me as like a comedy guy, I guess, because they just follow me and they see me freaking out about picks and they see me giving out my picks and they see me getting in arguments and getting in the mud and just giving out takes and stuff like that. So I don't think people really thought of me as someone who could come on a show like this and go back and forth with Kyle, who is basically a comedian. He just looks at everything like life's a bit for Kyle, for sure. To quote Jack Fritz, who is another guy who was someone who reached out about this pod, being us being a great match. He was a fan of the pod as well. So to quote him there, shout out Jack Fritz. But
I do want to let people know that Mark is not dying still. Okay,
it's not with the pod's ending. I don't have a pod.
Mark or I do not have terminal cancer. I know you might think that 20 minutes and 46 seconds in, we didn't get a bad diagnosis. Okay,
I've never had a pod end. This is the first pod I've ever had end, I guess. So my Tough Cover podcast that I did initially with my friends and, you know, in my basement or in their basement or wherever it was, that it just became me talking to myself on the Painted Lines doing a one person show. But this is the first pod I've ever had that's like, oh, there it's ending. So
if I ever do an interview with this one person, I will make it a, what is the word I'm thinking of? I will make it a requirement that you're on with me. Give me somebody.
I don't know. That's a tough question.
I know.
That's on the spot. What are we like? I don't know who's realistic and then who's not realistic. It's like,
if I ever do a podcast with Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Joel, I don't think Joel's very realistic.
Wow.
I feel like he's not going to do like a podcast interview. I feel you maybe get a press pass. Carson Broad get you a press pass and you can
did the Ricky
dumb questions. Did he? I guess he did a while ago. Yeah.
He did the Ricky.
I was thinking you're more in the mud with media. Like I was thinking like who in media? Like not I wasn't thinking a player.
Media guys can be boring though.
But you interview more media for sure.
I do interview media and I would like to get away from media.
That's interesting.
Alex Jones. If I ever get Alex Jones on the podcast,
I'm out.
No, you can come on.
Give me who am I? You know, this is tough.
I get Aaron Rodgers and all we do is talk about ivermectin and vaccines. You can come on.
If you get anyone from around the NFL or Good Morning Football, that's what I'll say. Because I feel like those are realistic. You could get someone from one of those pods.
Okay. All right. Deal. Hey, what'd you think about Halliburton and Barnes? That other one for
Kyle does not want to do a fair. He wants to talk sports. I
don't want to do farewell shit. Once again, hey, anyone listening out there, we're 23 minutes in. Mark and I do not have terminal illnesses. We will be getting back to our regular scheduled programming called Life tomorrow. Actually,
our regularly scheduled programming had 3 pods a week.
Yeah. It sucks.
So it's not. It's different. I know you're going to downplay it and you're poo-pooing me here, mm-hmm. But it's the end of an era. It is the end of an era.
So it wouldn't be the last podcast if we didn't bring up that charlatan. Keith.
Oh
Pompey.
My God.
So
he has that's a good segue.
So he has his article yesterday with two different sources. One saying there was a trade, one saying there wasn't a trade. I don't know if this wasn't in Keith's job description when he got hired, but like he's supposed to take sources and decide which is real and which is fake. You're not supposed to report on all of the sources you get, because if you did, you're not really a real reporter. But hey, you know, this is Keith Pompey's world. We're just living in it. He's back in on Locked On Sixers, so I'm sure those numbers skyrocketed. I'm sure those numbers actually like skyrocketed.
They're he's doing that again?
He did it with Kai Carlin the other day.
That's so funny.
So it's hilarious because Serena went over to Cleveland. I'm sure those numbers fucking skyrocketed. Like, why are we getting so much traffic? We got to get Keith back on the pod. But I love how they gave him a babysitter and Kai Carlin, and they're like, all right, let's go. So he reports that the Sixers have received – an offer for Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle for Halliburton, Barnes, Buddy Hield, and two firsts. No protections on the first that we know about. They also said they didn't receive that. They also said they're not interested in it. And I want to ask Mark Henry what he thinks of that potential trade.
So I'm conflicted because I hate Keith Pompey, so I want to say he's a charlatan and a liar, and that's probably false. But I've actually been talking about this trade for like a week now, and saying it's funny. Like a couple hours before the trade posted, I was posting a couple fake trades.
Did you get killed on that?
Yeah, from every side. I always do. Every trade, it's a zero sum game to do the trade. The trade offers. No one ever is like, hey, this is actually really good for all three sides or all two.
See,
sides.
No one likes to lose a trade. It's so annoying.
But
it's
I think when I'm looking at these trades, I really am trying to look at them and say I think both teams win. And I thought that Pacers won, the three team trade with the Pacers, the Kings, and the Sixers was really good. But I posted another one that was basically that trade, but without the first round picks and with Marvin Bagley. So the two first round picks. I believe people were saying the Sixers would say no. And that was with Matisse. But then the offer you just said was with Matisse. In the article, he didn't include Matisse. And he said we deemed him untouchable, but Sacramento offered it without Matisse. So who knows what's really true with what Keith's saying. I would say if they are able to do Halliburton, Buddy, Barnes, two first-round picks for Ben and Toby without giving up Matisse, build the Daryl Morey statue outside the Wells Fargo Center, because not only does that make your team a lot better right now, but it doesn't take you out of the hunt in the offseason of trying to get a bigger fish, because Halliburton, Maxey, Matisse, a bunch of picks, and Barnes and Hield, who are tradable salaries on a short deal at that point, that'll all be enticing to a team that's trying to get off a superstar.
Yeah, I mean – the only reason why Daryl, if this was a real trade, once again, if it's a real trade, like he went on Mikey Miss today and he was just like, I understand that everybody is so on edge because there are so many rumors, but like he basically flat out said it, and I'll get to a point after this, but like he basically flat out said was like, half of these aren't real. And that's where he brought up Ball Sack Sports, which actually is hilarious that it's a real thing. And it had a real trade about, or not a real trade, but it had a fake proposed Warriors trade a couple weeks back. And people were like actually like retweeting it. If you put a fake trade out there, you're getting impressions.
Ball Sack Sports also, like 6 hours before the Daryl Morey shout out, there was a tweet about how whoever runs the account tried to kill themselves.
Yes.
So the internet is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, I almost took my life last night. And I was like, oh, this just took a dark turn. And now he's just retweeting everybody that's saying ball sack, ball sack,
and he's
ball
exploding sack. In followers.
It's insane. I care about mental health, but like this is the internet 101 right here. This is web 3.0 right here. A guy who doesn't know Daryl Morey is going to say ball sack and reference his account 6 hours after he almost killed himself. You couldn't write this shit. And that's 2022.
I was one of like the first five people that tweeted about it.
Yeah.
That's my take. I saw Seamus beat me.
What? Ball sack?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Seamus just tweeted.
I was going to tweet about his suicide. I was like, oh,
no.
Okay. I was the first one to get his suicide.
No, I was one of the first people to tweet out the fact that Daryl said ball sack live on radio.
It was good.
Seamus beat me. I think I saw a couple other people get retweeted by Ball Sack Sports before me. Yeah, I was on that.
The one other thing is, before we get back into the Halliburton trade, I had a buddy of mine that like texted me and was just like, I love Daryl. And I was like, why? And I was like, well, yeah. I was like, oh, it's good to have a adult in the room. And then he was like, but no, like the transparency. And you look at Howie and Nick Sirianni giving their press conference yesterday, which they gave us absolutely nothing. There wasn't really anything good. The funniest thing was when Nick Sirianni buried Jalen Reagor on the depth chart right in front of Howie, who drafted him just last year and named him a number three wide receiver. But like Howie just gave us lip service, and that's fine. You know, I know they're very they're hidden. They don't like to give away trade secrets and whatnot. I know information is currency in the NFL, but like it was just refreshing to hear Daryl be like, hey, listen, I don't think we're gonna get a trade done before February 10th. I don't blame him. And he's like, I don't think we're going to, you know, get anyone if we don't get a star. Like he's still star hunting. It's just nice to have that kind of transparency.
Yeah, 100%. I trust Daryl so much in this situation, and I think he's handled it perfectly. For everyone that says, you know, oh, how can you keep waiting, and you're not going to get a better offer than this, and you know, this is the best offer we've received, in my opinion, that's been reported on, if it's been offered. So if that's the if that's true, that we just got the best offer we've been offered, that alone justifies the decision in waiting, especially since we're still, you know, in the mix in the top five in the Eastern Conference. We haven't fallen out yet. So I think that he was also transparent in giving kind of the point that Joel's so good, we have to get him help some credence, because he's like, hey, we do, you know, we do have to look at the fact that Joel is so good that maybe we could take a top 40 guy instead of a top 25 guy. And I do think that that's allowing for guys like Halliburton and Harrison Barnes, who are probably right outside the top 40. But I think that he's looking at things like that and being quite honest about it. And I think the thing that no one's talking about that he said is he said a trade is possible with Sacramento. Like, I'm actually surprised that's not getting picked up on, because you'll never hear
ball sack.
GM.
It's the ball sack problem.
Yeah. But even like the Ben stuff got more picked up, and there's other stuff from it that's gotten more picked up. The fact that a GM, a sitting GM, about the player that he owns said a trade with another team is possible. Like, if they, I guess you could say that about anything, but it was just surprising to hear that, because it's so rare. And that tells me that, you know, a trade like that, where we get Halliburton, Buddy Barnes, we get picks, and we keep Matisse and Maxey, and we get to get off Tobias. I think that maybe he would shift his focus from stall hunting with Ben Simmons into maybe just offloading Tobias. It is such a good opportunity to in this Ben Simmons trade, to kind of attach them together. Maybe it lessens what you get for Ben, but you still get a couple good pieces who theoretically you can still do this shooters around Joel, which is like what we've always wanted.
Yeah, I think the only thing he lied about was the fact that he thinks the team that they have right now can win a championship. I think that's a bold-faced lie.
You have to say that. Yeah.
I did like the optimism that he thinks Ben could still play for him. I'm an optimist. I think Ben could still play for him. I'm an optimist. I think the Sixers fans would take him back. It would take a long time. He would have to take his medicine. But I think you give it a week, couple weeks, you give it a month, I think they would take him back if he plays well. You're shaking your head.
I don't think they would take him back, and I also just don't think it's possible. And I also think that's probably the thing he lied most about. That's probably the thing that he just has to say for legal reasons, because he's literally contracted to play for the team. So if Daryl was to say, like, I don't want him to play, then Ben can be like, oh, I'm going to play. And then it's like, oh, but you said you didn't want me. Like, Daryl's going to have to say whatever he's going to have to say about Ben. And he's just handling that. How he's clearly done with dealing with it and just clearly saying whatever he needs to say. But I don't think
they wouldn't meet with him that much. They wouldn't continue to meet with him if they didn't think it was possible he'd come back. Where do you think they ate at?
I don't know. It's got to be, it's got to be somewhere nice. Rich Paul was in a, you know, in like a tan suit, sitting courtside. He looked like he was P. Diddy in the 90s, but less baggy.
Who do you think took care of the tab?
It's got to be
probably
the Sixers.
It's got to
be Josh,
right?
Josh Harris. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Josh Harris was there, but
yeah, probably they probably called the meeting. They probably did.
Yeah, it's over for sure. He can't play here, and the fans aren't gonna accept him. And also, I don't think the team would be that much better with him. The team would be better with him with Joel on the floor, but the minutes with him and Drummond would be so dreadful that it would probably negate any of the positive impacts from having him out there with Joel. So I think they'd be a win or two better.
Okay, why is JoJo still 8-1 to win the MVP? I mean, if anyone's out there, hop on that right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I know where the value was like a week ago. It was like 50-1 or something crazy. And it's like,
I know it was like 3,300. It was 3,300, 33-1.
Yeah, I know it was crazy. Yeah, whatever it was, I know it was crazy. But I always hate getting value late. So I'm like, 8-1 is not that good. But I should just take it.
Oh, shut up and put $20 on it.
Yeah, I should.
I just think the narrative, I think we're going to get some good stories, some good narratives, some good things going about him missing out on it last year, coming back with, you know, your max player not being there. Maybe Tobias does get shipped, you know, he's missing two max players. He's leading these guys to a top three seed. Jokic isn't as he's already won an MVP. He's not as, you know, lovable. as he was last year. Steph has won a couple already. They might give it back to him. I understand he's coming back. He also led them without Clay for a little bit, but I can see the narrative. I can see the narrative switching over to Joel. I could. That road trip or that seven game, eight game, what was it, 8 straight games of 30-10,
mm-hmm.
which is like only ever been done by like Wilt.
Well, the issue here is will Joel Embiid be voted to be the most valuable player? Because he was the most valuable player last year, mm-hmm. but he didn't win the MVP. So
Raptor stats.
But did you see StatMuse today at 9 yes. a.m. the day
his
after?
Raptor stats aren't good.
Yeah, it's such – I'm a nerd. I like analytics. I like stats. Whip-de-doo. Like, I like it. Watch the two play basketball and tell me Nikola Jokic is better at basketball than Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's a top three defender in the world. Jokic is a fat slob who's hitting people from behind. You know, Markieff Morris hasn't played since that happened. People aren't talking about it because Jokic is the fat, cuddly, you know, fat guy. I can't stand him. I can't stand Jokic, but I've been in the mud with Nuggets Twitter before. I've been in the mud with Jokic Twitter before. I couldn't do it again today. You know, I stared at it. I'm like, oh, I want to get upset. But it's just one of those, like, I'm trying to stop getting upset on Twitter. And I was like, I'm not going to get in the mud with people from Colorado today.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think, what's another narrative that I hate talking about that doesn't make any sense? It's kind of the Bryce Harper MVP situation if it wasn't like, if it got a little more steam. I feel like if Tatis didn't kind of die at the end a little bit, it would have been more of a conversation and whatnot. Zach Wheeler, Cy Young. That's what it feels like.
I just don't think people will vote for Embiid over Jokic.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
I think he's more beloved than I'm just telling you, man. I can see the narratives being crafted. I can see the Players Tribune. I can see Jackie McMullen with a nice little piece. Maybe we'll get Tyler Tynes to get a nice little piece on Joel and whatnot. The PR team's got to work a little bit. Sixers got to work a little bit. Maybe it's a good All-Star game.
I think the writers
playing back to backs.
The writers and voters. Sorry. My bad. The writers and voters are just such nerds. Like I think that they love Jokic and
I think Kevin O'Connor likes it. Embiid.
Yeah,
but he's a nerd.
Like Zach Lowe every week on his show is doing like a thing where it's like why Jokic is the MVP and all these people listen to that ringleader nerd Zach Lowe. You put that guy on a podcast, I'd fall asleep.
What if we become the podcast that is pro Joel Embiid for the MVP?
Anything I'm a part of is pro Joel Embiid for the MVP.
Well, what if like we take this podcast and we become pro Joel Embiid for the next podcast we do?
Hey, I mean, yeah, we're there. I'm in. We get it. Let's get a vote.
You didn't get the joke because this is the last podcast ever.
I got the joke.
Wasn't good enough for you? That's why we're ending the podcast.
It wasn't a great joke.
You don't
it
laugh at me enough. Joke. That's all right.
I feel like I've laughed plenty, like an idiot.
You keep me grounded. I'm on 4%.
Uh-oh. Let's
any parting words? Any parting shots?
No parting shots.
I'm gonna miss your sex couch.
Yeah. This has been the Yoko Ono couch. It came in at the end of the pod. You couldn't deal with it. You're like,
No, Shane Happ is my Yoko Ono.
I've been doing stuff with him since
Sean before. Brace is my Yoko Ono. John Jantz is my Yoko Ono.
Maybe Sean and John. But I've been doing stuff with Shane since before we even met. But no parting shots here.
Give me something good.
No, I'm happy for Kyle.
Give me something you told someone in private about me.
What in private? I think that you're really wasting your potential as a challenge legend. I think you I think that you could scrap this whole crossing broad nonsense and take your talents to MTV and start taking down CT and Johnny Bananas and Wes and that's the old guys. But
I'd have to mix in a couple cycles. I'll tell you that I had to mix in a couple cycles. Anadrol, whatever the hell it's called.
Who hasn't? No, I think that that's your next step. If you said your next chapter is Crossing Broad, maybe Crossing Broad can give you the platform to get on the challenge. But this is you're meant for the show.
Kyle, can I take off because I got to go to the challenge and fight CT. I'll blog
Bulgaria.
It. Yeah. I'll go to Iceland. The agent one. Oh, man. But no. Stop ball washing me. Jesus Christ. What I want to say is, if anyone's out there, I said, listen in there. You got to follow Mark. He gets you into the green. That's all you can ask for. You like units? He's the unit man. He's the Pillsbury Doughboy of units. You push a button, he just goes, hee-hee, and then he gets you seven picks that get you in the green.
Yeah, I'm a good gambler. No, I
you are.
Please follow me. Please follow Kyle. We're both gonna continue doing what we do.
Yeah, I know you'll be on a podcast probably like the next like 6 months.
I hope so. I would hope I'm doing something and not just sitting here. But I am extremely proud of the interviews we have done and the guys that we have gotten on here. And thanks to everyone who's listened. Thanks to everyone who's found me out who I am because of this. It's awesome. I'm not ball washing Kyle, but I am appreciative of Kyle for seeing something in me to bring me on and kind of continue his baby. This is his baby. This is everything's fine. He's going to continue the Twitter account, obviously, and the TikTok, which is the most important thing. It's got a good gazillion followers, right?
It's doing okay. It's got like 14,000, which I never thought I'd ever get the 14,000 on anything.
Yeah.
Thanks to all the listeners and everything. This is probably the longest farewell podcast by the smallest podcast ever created in the in the world in terms of numbers and metrics. So if you listen to this 41 minutes and 20 seconds, I hope you got everything you needed. I hope you got closure. I hope you got some sports talk. And I hope you continue to follow Mark and myself wherever we go. Get the last word, Mark.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to Kyle.
Bye.